We come once again, friends, to this wonderful psalm that we have been considering together. These have been brief studies of devotional nature, expounding these passages of the Word of God to help us to pray, help us to pray personally, to help us to pray corporately, and especially in these trying times. All of us are in need of this help from the Lord that we read of in this psalm. Now this evening we want to concentrate on verse 5. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. And there are two things that I want us to notice here. First of all, the keeper. And secondly, our shade. So our keeper and our shade. The Lord is thy keeper. And as I'm sure you have known from before, that the term the Lord, as it is in the capital, it is the divine name of God, the covenant name of God, Jehovah. And it says this, Jehovah is thy keeper. Jehovah is thy, personally. It's a personal statement to us as individuals. But who is he talking about? To the Lord's people. To the believer. We could apply it to ourselves, to those who are truly the Lord's. Those who are, by God's grace, become the Lord's. Israel had been the Lord's people by grace. Not because of who they were, anything good in them. And so there was this specific, this personal promise of the Lord to those individuals. Not just to them as a whole, but to them as individuals. The Lord is thy keeper. So you can pray this prayer. You can make this into a prayer. Lord, thou art my keeper. Thou art my keeper. And this word, keeper, is a word that is translated in various ways. It means the one who keeps by guarding. It means the one who keeps by preserving. It is the keeping hand of the Lord in defending. You read the same words in verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee. Exactly the same word. The Lord shall preserve thee. That is what the Lord is promising again his people. He will preserve, he will protect, he will keep. He will guard. This is where we get the term Jehovah Shammah. He will keep thee from danger. He will keep thee from sin. He will keep thee unto salvation. He will keep thee always. So you can pray to God and thank him. Thou wilt keep me. Thou wilt keep me in perfect peace. David describes the Lord, using the same term, as the keeper, as one who will defend. By keeping, he means defending. In Psalm 41, and verses 1 and 2, the same word in the Hebrew is used. And this is how it is set. In Psalm 41 and verses 1 and 2, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord, again, Jehovah, will preserve him. Protect him. And keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. It's in the context of the Lord defending from the enemies. He won't deliver us to our enemies. He will defend. He will keep us in that sense. Well, we see this same truth in several other psalms. In Psalm 116 and verse 6. Psalm 116 and verse 6. The same expression is used. It says this, the Lord preserveth the simple. The Lord preserveth. It's the same word. The Lord keeps, The Lord preserves the simple. Who are these simple ones? They are those who lack wisdom. They are those who lack experience. And that exposes them to danger, you see. If we are ignorant of certain things, we are exposed to danger. And so, here is the promise. I am so foolish, I am so simple. I know so little about the things of this world. I'm so ignorant of the dangers that I'm going into. And here I have the promise of God that I can pray in the morning. Lord, I don't know what the day will bring forth. But thou hast said, thou wilt preserve the simple. I was brought low, he says, and he helped me. So there is a testimony there. God did help him. He was brought low. So he did fall into certain things. But the Lord did help him too. So God is faithful to his promise, the psalmist says. In Psalm 127 and verse 1, we read this. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Again, it is in the sense of the watchman keeping of the city. It is in the context of being a guard on the watch. Jehovah Shamar, the Lord is our keeper. He keeps the city. He watches over it. He guards it. And this is very instructive for us. In this verse in Psalm 127. It teaches the foundational truth that, yes, we have a responsibility, but we can't do anything in the supernatural realm without God's enablement. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. There is a laboring, but there can be a laboring in vain. And we can seek to build something up, but it could be in vain. Except the Lord builds. And you compare this to other passages of the Word of God in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, he says, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So there is that aspect of things that we are to be laboring. But we ought not to be laboring in vain. How can we not labor in vain? It's the Lord who must help us. We need him to keep us. We need him to preserve us. The watchman is only effective because God is the guard. God is the keeper. God is the defender. Jehovah. And that's what Israel could hope in. The Lord, not in their own armies, not in their horses, not in their chariots. So what are you hoping in? Who do you think will defend you? Who will keep you? Who will preserve you? Nothing that this world is providing. Nothing that this world is offering you. But the Lord. So you apply that to your own life. You think right now, what are people afraid of? What are people worried about? The Christian can take these promises for himself. You see, we are not safe because of some human-made effort. We are not safe because we have walls around our homes, and we have all the various amenities and various things that we think this will keep us safe. That we have this kind of a car, that we have this kind of a health insurance, that we have this kind of a doctor near us, or whatever else we might think of. That I'm young, I am healthy. That you can think about the things that people would put their trust in. But none of those things will keep you safe. You can have a watchman. You can pay a guard all the time to be at your door watching. But if God refuses to watch over you, then all of that will be in vain. The watchman will fall asleep. But not the Lord. I, the Lord, do keep it, he says. The Lord is better than an army who falls asleep. And so, we are to be laboring, but make sure it is not in vain. How can it be not in vain? is the Lord who must build. It's the Lord who must be on our side. Yes, the scriptures endorses what Oliver Cromwell once said, or he did more than once said, of God's sovereignty. He encouraged the soldiers to trust in the Lord. And he also said, but make sure you use the means as well. Make sure you take your responsibility seriously and be faithful in your work that you are doing. And he said, trust in the Lord and keep your powder dry. Their gunpowder had to be kept dry. But here, the sense is different. The sense is, we are told that the dried powder will not win the victory unless we trust in the Lord. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The Lord must keep. And it says there, the Lord is thy keeper. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is thy keeper. Who are these people? They love the Lord. These are people who love the Lord. But the scripture says that he will come to destroy his own enemies. He will destroy the wicked. In Psalm 145, this is what we read in verse 20. Psalm 145, verse 20. The Lord, the same word is used, preserveth all them that love him. That's what he will do. He preserves those who love him, who honor him, who fear him, who walk after him. But all the wicked will he destroy. So it is put in the contrast. The same word, keep, is translated there as preserve. And then there is the contrast. But what are the wicked going to do in that hour of their need? God will destroy them. They have no help. They have no one to keep them. They've been trusting in this and that and the other thing. You think about on that final day when the Lord comes, they're going to run to all kinds of things, run to the mountains and crying out to be covered by the rubbles of the mountains. But it is an awful thing to have God as our enemy. But he loves those and he keeps those who love him. But how do they love him? How are we to love the Lord? Why is it that some people love the Lord? The scripture tells us it's because we have been first loved. We first experienced the love of God. We love him because he first loved us. Have you experienced the love of God? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that you receive, any kind of blessing, the fact that he would keep us is because of Christ. That's why. Because of the love of Christ, he keeps us. He said of his disciples that he has not lost none of them except the betrayer Judas. That he kept all of them. And he says he will keep us still. None of us will be cast out. We will all be kept in the fold. The shepherd, the good shepherd who laid his life down for us, he will keep us still because his love is not based on you. It's not based on me. It's not based on what we do for him. It's because he loves us, because of his grace. He died for us. And having been justified ourselves and had the love of God shed abroad, poured out within our own hearts, because of this spiritual transaction took place that our sins were laid on him and his righteousness was laid on us, on our account, we are able to then lovingly follow him. Lovingly, he said, to obey him. Obey his commandments. Not as a slave. Not legalistically, of course. But lovingly. As motivated and as enabled by the indwelling Spirit of God. And that is the mark of the Christian. That we love him. Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Well, trust in this promise then. He will keep you then. He will still love you by keeping you. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the one who will protect. He supports the fatherless. He supports the widow, the scripture says. But he thwarts the way of the wicked. It says in Psalm 146 and verse 9, the Lord preserveth the strangers. You feel yourself, you don't fit in certain situations, among certain people, within your family maybe. In various parts of our life, we might feel we are strangers. We are strangers in this world. The Christian is called a pilgrim. This is not our home. This is not the world that we are to be living in forever in our lives. No, we are to be with the Lord. And he says, the Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down. That's what happens. So the Lord is our keeper. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee, we read, will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Friends, this is such a comforting thing because, and David knew it, and the Israelites knew it, because they were living in a dangerous world. Do you think we live in a dangerous world? They were living in a dangerous world. And so we do. Enemies would like to attack and destroy us. They would aim to do that constantly. There's a lion that is going around to devour you. And he means business. He's not playing around. And we ought to recognize that. There are Christians who forget that there is a devil. That there is someone who seeks to do everything in his power to undermine everything that you do. That's why we need the Lord. But as we walk in the will of the Lord and depend on his power, he is there as our keeper and as our preserver. The Lord shall preserve thee, it says in verse 7, from all evil. All evil. Trust in that. Believe that. When your heart is sinking, and everything else around you is so confusing, and you don't really know the answers to things, trust in the Lord that what he has said he will do. He will preserve you personally, if you are the Lord's, from all evil. Oh, yes, of course, this doesn't say that we don't have pain. Some of you have pains right now. You're sitting there with aches and pains and difficulties. You couldn't sleep last night. You have pains in your heart. You have a broken heart. There are things on your mind that is so painful to bear. You shed tears again and again. It's not talking about that. It's talking about your soul, the keeping of your soul. It is talking about the fact that the things will work out for your good. That you will be able to honor the Lord. You will be able to still rejoice and have that hope and joy in your salvation. To know him as being your God, and not only a God at a distance, but near you. To know his presence. To know that he is hearing you. It's not talking about you won't suffer or you won't sorrow. Yes, you will be hurt, but you won't be harmed. He shall preserve thy soul, we read. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So the Lord is thy keeper. So that's the first thing, our keeper. The second one is our shade. The Lord is our shade. That is amazing, isn't it? The creator of heaven and earth is called the shade of God's people. Or the shadow. He's your shadow. Just as everywhere we go, our shadow goes with us. So too God. God is our shadow, or His shadow is upon us. His shade is upon us. All the time, in all of your circumstances, God's shadow means He's there. He's right there. That's why you have His shade upon you. It's talking about His distance to you. He's close by. He's there, right there, with you, all the time. The parallel truth is echoed in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. That there we are reminded that, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The truth is that Jehovah, the Lord, surrounds His people. He is our helper. And that's why we don't fear what man will do to us, because His shadow is over us. We are under the shadow of His wing. He's surrounding His people. He's guarding them from every point of attack. His shadow falls on all of us, not just part of us, but on all of us. The enemies must be able to pierce the impenetrable and conquer the invincible before he can touch the feeblest saint who is sheltering under the wings of the Lord. And they can't do that. The enemy can't pierce through. Can't get through. And Satan, speaking to Jehovah about his servant Job, said this. It's recorded in Job chapter 1 and verse 10. Hast thou not made, he says, a hedge about him? That's why the expression comes at times in prayer. We pray this prayer. To set a hedge about us. Meaning, we want the Lord with us. We want the Lord's presence. We want the Lord's protection. We want the Lord to be so around, surrounding us that nothing would pierce through from the enemy, from the outside. Hast thou not made a hedge about him? He says, he's complaining. Satan's complaining. And his house and all that he has on every side, thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land, he says. Why? Because the Lord has been hedging about him. Set a hedge about him. The Lord has been his shade. The Lord's shadow has been upon Job. So, where do you get shadow from? It's when it comes from when something is inserted. Something that comes between an object and a light source. And is frequently used as a highly expressive symbol of protection or refuge, especially in the hot, arid Middle Eastern weather. The shade or shadow refers to that which keeps an object safe from harm or danger. So when a shade is there between the light, something comes to make a shade between the light, that light source, and the object. Joshua and Caleb, when they were seeking to instill confidence in the Israelites to go up and to take the land of Canaan, this is what they said. It's recorded in Numbers 14 and verse 9. They said, only rebel not ye against the Lord. The only thing you shouldn't do is to rebel, to turn away, to refuse to follow the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense, that is the word, the defense here is the word for protection. It is literally their shade. Their shade of protection, that's what it means, is departed from them. And the Lord is with us, fear them not. So they don't have a shade. They're not in a shade. They are not protected. But we are. We have the Lord. We have Jehovah with us. So we don't have to fear them. Remember that. somebody comes and they are not the Lord's people or they are the enemies of the Lord, we don't have to fear them. They don't have the protection that you and I have. And Isaiah says to us this similarly. He says to us this great truth about God in Isaiah 25 and verse 4. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. The same word. A shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. So how different this is from what the ungodly ones who have Satan standing next to them. That's the sad thing. They might think they don't have anybody with them, but there is someone else there. They are doing his bidding. He's close by and he's dangling the carrots, as it were. He's tempting them. He's pushing them this way and pushing them that way. And that's the one that is next to them. And that's a fearful thing, isn't it? That's why we need the Lord. We need to seek the Lord if we are not Christians. And when the trouble comes, will he be there for you? No, he won't be there. As we are told in Numbers 14 and verse 9, their defense is departed from them. They are not under the shadow of Satan. But God is as near to us as our shadow. And we are safe as angels. So here it is a wonderful concept when it speaks about the shadow. And the shadow is on our right hand. The hand of work. The hand of strength. The hand that protects. And you see this similar picture of God's perpetual protection and presence over his people in Israel's Exodus. Moses records how Jehovah, in Exodus 13 and verse 21, he says this, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. And so David is emphasizing the effect of an awareness of Jehovah's presence at his right hand. Do you know this? Do you know the Lord is there? Do you know that if you are a true Christian, a true child of God, you have God's shadow on you, on your right hand? And David says this in Psalm 16 and verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved, he says. The same word that is used in verse 3 about slip, or thy foot to be moved, it says. It says, I've got God set before me always. That's what we are doing in prayer. We are setting God before us in prayer. Setting the Lord, he says, always, continually. That's what he's doing. And that was a conscious, intentional choice that David had made. One we should all strive to imitate as the Spirit of God enables us to set the Lord before us in prayer, thinking upon him and reminding ourselves of these words and making it our own. In Acts 2 and verse 25, the psalm is rendered in this way, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved, it says. And Peter applies Psalm 16 and verse 8 to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the eye of faith could see beforehand the continual divine support to his suffering son, in such a way that he should never be moved from accomplishment of his purpose of redeeming his people. And by the power of God, at his right hand, he foresaw that he would smite through all who rose up against him. And on that power, he places his reliance. And that's what we should do. When we read these verses, we are trusting in these things. We are trusting in God's promises. I have set the Lord always before me. And we can say, and his shadow is upon me. His shade is upon me, on my right hand. And this is not something that David did by fits and starts. You say, well, today the Lord is with me, tomorrow he's not with me. Today I feel he's with me, this morning, in the evening I don't feel him. It's not like that at all. But always, he says, always. And he sets the Lord always before him. In whatever he was doing. He had his eye upon the Lord because he knew, I've got short sight. But the Lord is there. He's near. I can sense his shadow over me. And so I can set him before me always. I have equally set the Lord before me, it could be said. That's the force of the words here. That is, I've set the Lord before me at one time as well as another time. Not in fits and starts. Without going up and down with God because of my feelings. No, it's not depending upon my feelings. That it has nothing to do. The Lord's presence and the Lord's closeness to me, from his point of view, has nothing to do with how you feel. And what's happening to you is always there. I sent a message out this morning, or yesterday was it, of a quote by Spurgeon that said this: not to pray because you do not feel fit to pray is like saying, I will not take medicine because I am too ill. Do you feel like that? In every place, in every condition, in every company that you are in every employment, in everything that you're enjoying, I have set the Lord equally before me, always before me. And that raised him. And this will raise any Christian too. And here the psalmist says, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Do you believe this? Do you live depending on this, this God that is right there beside you? His Spirit is within you. His Son is watching over you. Underneath and round about are his everlasting arms. Do you believe that? Then why do we fret? Why do we worry? Why do we think, well, what will happen to me in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time? Next year, will I live this year out? What will happen to me when this thing has happened and the doctor has said this and I feel like this physically in my own self? When these people are saying this and that's happening in the world, and I think and worry about this child and that child, what am I going to do? I trust in the Word of God. I'm not going to trust in my own thoughts because I've often been wrong. I'm not going to trust in what other people say because they have also been wrong, like me. But the Lord is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. And I trust in his truth because he has said, the Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade upon my right hand. Well, may God then bless these things to each one of you, and may we truly live because we believe these words. Amen.